Whether we are willing to accept it or not, we know that our time on earth is finite. At some day in the future, our earthly life will end, and then we face that judgment of our Lord. God willing, through his grace and our cooperation with it, we will be well on our way towards heaven at that point, maybe passing through purgatory. During this month of November, we are given this opportunity to contemplate the reality of our own mortality and the way in which we continue to be in communion with those who have gone before us. In our parish community this past week, we've had two funerals, and we expect another one in the near future with the news of another parishioner who'd passed away. When we confront the reality of mortality, there are two basic responses we can make. One, that we can cling to what is limited greedily, seeking to control it for ourselves. Or two, we can entrust our lives, as finite as they are, entirely to God, to do with as he wills. Such is the example of the two widows that we hear about in our scripture readings today. The widow of Zarephath in the first reading, encountering dramatically the limitedness of her provisions in a time of famine, literally staring starvation in the face. And we have the poor widow of the famous story of the widow's mite, that is, that donation of those few coins worth a few pennies, her whole livelihood. These extreme examples can allow us to recognize with greater clarity the poverty that we ourselves experience. Yes, the widow in Zarephath, in a very dramatic episode, was in starvation conditions. She literally was scraping the barrel for the last flour, the remaining drops of oil, to provide bread for herself and her hungry son. But when we contemplate our lives in view of eternity, we are forced to recognize that even the greatest abundance we have on earth is merely poverty. Everything of earth will come to an end. While young men may delight in being in the peak of their health, they recognize that that peak will eventually go away. While we may see ourselves storing up money for retirement, we know that those savings accounts will be depleted. We know that when we have social standing or experience good health, that these things can be fickle things that can go away in an instant. What then are we to do with the reality of our limited existence? The response here modeled by these widows is one of a faith-filled generosity. This Sunday also marks the beginning of National Vocations Awareness Week. And at the core of every vocation is that response of generosity. Not a generosity that comes out of our surplus, as seen in the wealthy people in our gospel today, but a generosity that comes from our very selves. It is the difference between simply volunteering our time for God when we happen to have free time, and making God truly the center of our lives, to prioritize our lives, our values, our relationships, our investments, the way we go about our business in pursuit of the gospel, in pursuit of Jesus Christ. There are, granted, great obstacles to this. We have our fears, we have our worries. There is a sense that as we lose control, we fear that we will not be taken care of. But what is the alternative? Consider again the widow in Zarephath and her hungry son. She knew that her provisions of flour and oil were finite. They were about to reach their end. And when the prophet Elijah came to her, she had the choice of either simply futilely cling to what remains of those provisions or faithfully and generously share what she had. Obviously, we know that she chose the latter. And because of that act of faith and generosity, something remarkable happened. this miraculous multiplication of the provisions during this time of famine, saving not only herself, but her son, and also providing nourishment to Elijah. In a scenario in which zero people would have been saved, three people were able to have their life sustained. So it is with us when we consider the response and call of vocation. First and foremost, we are all called to sanctity. We are all called on what's been referred to as the universal call to holiness, that is, to be saints. We are called on a life of discipleship, that is, of imitation of Jesus. And as we imitate our Lord and relinquish the control of our lives to him, he is able to do things that, left to our own devices, we could not have imagined. He takes those little acts of generosity, he takes those moments of sacrifice, and he multiplies the blessings there, just as was the case with the widow in Zarephath. But also we recognize that for the vast majority of us, our call to holiness falls within certain modes of relationship and generosity, what may often be called our particular vocations, whether it be to the married life, consecrated religious life, or to ordained ministry, especially to that of the priesthood. All these avenues and ways of living are forms of living out a self-sacrificial, generous life, a form of life that by its very structure calls a person out of him or herself. That is the kind of life that our Lord is calling to us, which is either we are clinging greedily to our life, futilely holding on to the last bit with nothing from God, or we follow this path of vocation, first to sanctity, and then maybe within a certain particular vocation. I think especially of the questions before the consent said before couples on their wedding day. They come before the altar, and before they make their vows for this lifelong vocation, they say yes to certain questions that clarify what they are meaning to do. I think we're blessed in our parish to have celebrated several weddings here. And when the priest would come before the bride and the groom, and they would ask them, Briley and Kesa, Matt and Emily, Mark and Heather, have you come here to enter into marriage freely and wholeheartedly? And the response is, I have. I want to focus on the word wholeheartedly. That is encapsulating the gift of the entire self. It's not my extra reserve when I have my free time, when I feel like it. I have come here wholeheartedly, not holding anything back, not placing any conditions on this commitment. I've come here to give myself 100% today and for the rest of my life until death do we part. This kind of dynamic of 100% gift, modeled by the widows in our gospel today, is the kind of love that our Lord is calling to us in our vocations, whatever they may be. Clearly, we see this beautifully witnessed in the life of marriage. But also we see that in consecrated religious life of brothers and sisters living in community, 100% pouring themselves out for the good of their brothers and sisters in their community, pouring themselves out in their apostolate in the community, pouring themselves out in that life of prayer before God, interceding on our behalf. We see this lived out so well, hopefully, God willing, so well, by our priests in our parishes who have committed themselves to be priests in the diocesan context, priests of the land, to pour themselves out for the people of this diocese, for the people of the parishes to which they've been assigned, sacrificing and structuring their life so that they may be of service to others and draw these people to the gospel, to our Lord Jesus Christ. Such is the fullness of life that our Lord invites us to, this 100% gift of self, which, as I mentioned earlier, results in a remarkable multiplication of God's blessings. The widow in Zarephath was able to feed herself, her son, and Elijah because of that singular yes to God's plan. We could think of the fruitfulness and the blessings multiplied by that yes, by that man and woman on the altar, as they labor for the salvation of themselves and for each other and for their children. And we think of the multiplication of blessings of those called to religious life as they help sanctify each other in community and give themselves in life-giving service to the people of God around them. We think of the multiplication of blessings from a man called to priesthood as he administers the sacraments over the course of his life, forgiving sins, anointing the sick, nourishing the people of God with the bread of life, and bearing witness to the gospel through his own life. What remarkable opportunities we've been given to participate in the life of God. I would pause and recognize, of course, that there are some people here who may not fall within these readily recognizable vocational paths. There are people who are widows, who are widowers, who have experienced marriage but also suffered the pain of divorce. People who, for whatever circumstances, did not see a door open for a particular vocation. In all this, though, we recognize that God calls us to a life of generosity, of self-gift, something that is at the core of our universal vocation to holiness. These may be high ideals. How do we put it into practice? Three things I want to mention. First, to begin each day of our lives with a prayer of thanksgiving. We cannot hope to be generous if we are not first thankful, if we are not recognizing the blessings that have come to us. I encourage you, I exhort you, if you are not already saying thank you to God explicitly and specifically every day, make that a part of your practice daily. Secondly, we dare to make decisions so as to make concrete our desire for generosity. We can have many good ideas, but if we do not make a decision to volunteer, to step forward, to lean in once more when reconciliation is required, generosity will simply remain potential and not actual. Our participation with God in his life will simply be the realm of dreams and not reality. We make decisions confidently with God to be generous and to share ourselves. And thirdly, we must remember commitment. Certainly, commitment is required in these lifelong vocations, but we must also see the need for commitment for a period of time, especially as we are still discerning or seeking to discover and decide upon where God is calling us in life. For instance, when we decide to commit to help volunteer at the parish, we must commit to that decision. How frustrating it is for organizers to have volunteers who say they'll be there but do not show up. But also how detrimental it is for our own hearts when we are not willing to lay down our lives for that small sacrifice to say yes to that standing commitment. We train ourselves otherwise to grab onto or follow the flashiest thing or the better option or opportunity, and we forget the discipline of sacrifice. I think a remarkable example of this commitment for a time is boldly and courageously modeled by our seminarians. And thankfully, we have three seminarians here from Bishop White to assist at this Mass. These men knew going into seminary that it was not a lifelong commitment, but simply a commitment for a time, maybe just for a year. But within that year, our Lord has called them to commit themselves 100% to the task of being seminarians, not one foot in and one foot out, but a 100% in. This commitment for these young men may end with the conclusion that they are called out of seminary, which is a good discernment to make. It also may conclude with the decision that they are called to step forward further in seminary and onward to ordained ministry. The key thing is that in that moment of response, we are making a decision that is backed up with our commitment. My brothers and sisters, let us approach our Lord this Holy Mass as we seek to unite ourselves with him and imitate him, saying thank you to God for his blessings, making decisions to make real our generosity, and being committed to this life of faith as we pour ourselves out to God 100%.